Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at Resonant Truth. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Blue Galactic Night, and it is the eighth day of the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell, and it is the solar moon day 16. It's the 16th day of the solar moon. It is Tuesday, and it is like the 22nd of March, and it is also the second day of the third week in the West. Is there a better way to say this? Hey everyone, it's Blue Galactic Night on the Zolk'in and in the solar moon. We're on day 16. It's the third week in the West. That would be a nicer way to say that. I am feeling the third week in the West. Are you? Let's review what the solar moon is. It's on fire. It's sun-like. We are sun-like in the solar moon. We are fiery and we're emitting rays. Our solar rays are like solar flares that we're releasing, and each little flare is intention that we've built up over our whole year to date. That would be eight moons behind us. We have done a lot of growing and learning and honing in on our purpose. You know, we received our purpose early on, but we had to go through all these iterations to really kind of have it be something that we are both melded to and that we can kind of like shape. And now, in the ninth stage of 13, we have kind of the authority from all that experience and growth to present what it is we want to our sense of God. And by being so evolved over the course of the year, we are a bit godlike. You know, we're godlike enough to communicate best with God. And we're using the word solar because our God is the center of the universe and the giver of life, and that is also what our solar sun is. And to me, they're totally interchangeable, you know. The concept of God who gives us life and gives us light and is endlessly full of light and also casts shadows in our planetary existence with its piercing light isn't any different than the one that I kind of talk to and make requests of and am thankful to, that has a more of a personification than just being a glowing orb of fire out there in the cosmos, but has a lot of the same behaviors, you know, full of light, shows me that life when you are incarnated on the planet isn't all light. There's light and dark, and there are light and shadows cast by people and other entities on Earth. So the solar moon is picking up even more speed here in the third week in the West when the transformation seems to accelerate our experience. We had a big arc of a full moon over the weekend building up to this third week, and I think that kind of set us up to be kind of ragged, and it's like the wheels are coming off the vehicle because it's
picking up so much speed, or it's the rocket ship that has like capsules that it sheds as it kind of blasts into space. Meanwhile, I'm just giving you that information because I don't have a lot of commentary. It's hotter than hell here where I live. First days of spring feel like endless summer. The drought is terribly real. And that makes sense, right? The solar moon, that you would feel on fire. The solar moon is always this time of year. So it is the burst into spring when we suddenly recognize that, I guess daylight savings helps in some way, but there's a recognition that the sun and light and our schedule are epically intertwined. You know, we pay attention to the light when they take our, you know, mornings away, or whatever the capitulation to time change is. We're suddenly like really aware of what the light's doing because we're out of sync with it. And that happens always in the solar moon. So an orientation to the sun is part of this experience. My orientation right now is that I'm burning up and have to water my plants through Northern California winter. And now it's spring. Now it is spring. I'm going to talk about the warrior wave spell for a while, and then I might circle back to what we can expect coming up through the rest of this week and the solar moon. Because, you know, I had a lot of trepidation about the warrior wave spell in the context of the war that is happening in the world. I'm sure there are many wars in the world that we don't pay as much attention to, but in Eastern Europe, there's a war, and the war is brutal insofar as it doesn't feel like it's a war fought through just universal laws and principles. But are wars ever fought fairly? Who knows? So the Yellow Warrior Wave spell is about righteous war and fighting for the cause of good, or to protect the weak and to be righteous. So it's like a social justice war would be a righteous war. Fighting against the man would be a righteous cause for war. Defending oneself from an attack that's unprovoked is a righteous cause for war. Going after someone who's done nothing because you suddenly decide that you want what they have is not a righteous war, and a yellow warrior does not celebrate that. Yellow warrior celebrates resisting that and being strong in the face of that with a shield and weaponry and counterattacking, or just having a superlative defense. So we're seeing that happen on the stage in Ukraine, but this is like a war is hell moment, and that's very poignant in the Yellow Warrior time. Just like war is hell, war is hell. Even winning in war just looks like so much destruction. I know that many lives are lost, and it's very hard to get a number and get a, like, place the number of how many civilians are actually dying and soldiers. But what is really clear to me is that the indiscriminate bombing is just like destroying historic architecture on every level. The beauty that I associate with Europe, the sort of ancient architectural wonder that we can't ever find in the so-called New World, is just being obliterated, and it won't be like restored or replicated. It'll just be rebuilt in modernism. That's affected me a lot. I'm sure me as the outsider is not affected like those who were there. And I think that was the other thing, like to learn as a American Californian, without war on our soil, hardly at all. I think it is really hard to fathom. How does someone endure war? But in Europe, wars have happened really recently and repeatedly. So I did figure that out in the wave spell today. Like, there are different cultures where they click into and not an appetite for war, but, you know, a capability. And I don't know that we can here, because we haven't had to, or maybe we could if someone arrived and started blowing up our homeland. Maybe we would suddenly want to defend it. You know, maybe that's the regular impulse. But it is a really strong yellow warrior impulse to not take an attack on us sitting down, lying down, but to defend and hold that line of self-worth. You know, no, you can't just come in here and try to, what do they say, scorch earth me. I'm not going to have that. So it's really an amazing thing. If any of us are watching the spirit and energy field of Ukrainian resistance to this war. And then what is the personal? You know, the fearlessness is a big part of it, and also maybe not having as many feelings, although I had kind of a guttural feeling moment today, and I thought, oh, I used to cry all the time. I used to be a real crier, a Blue Storm crier, and I processed a lot of pain emotionally, and there was a lot to process. And now I process difficulty mentally, you know, not as much emotionally. And it's a perfect wave spell to just point out that difference, that a yellow warrior person, or we in the yellow warrior time, are going to mostly be processing the pain we encounter fearlessly with our intelligence. That's one of the words for yellow warrior. And that's a mental exercise, I guess, or a process, you know, using our reason and reflection to, I guess, placate the parts of our body or our psyche that would be like, ah, this is so awful. And just like, well, hold up. It is. But right in this moment, we have a task. So there's something really special about this wave spell, that we have the capacity to, you know, stay focused, stay in the higher mind of surviving war. And maybe the emotions come later, or maybe for a yellow warrior person, they never come. Or maybe they come, you know, once or twice in a lifetime, a big deluge, and then there's just a capacity to slip back into stoicism that's real. It's not repression. It's just, it's like a personality tick. The yellow warrior has the capacity to take on a lot with this exoskeleton that we're actually denied in our human form. We have an internal skeleton instead of like a bug has the shell around them, soft insides. Our insides are hard bone structure, and then we're surrounded by softness or interspersed with softness. But when we have the warrior shield, we can feel ourselves cut off from our vulnerability, and it's kind of awesome to have a break from it for 13 days. If you have been at all trying to check in with my website, it may have been hacked or enough activity happened that it got kind of shut down or slowed down. And I'm sorry about that. Right now, I don't have any energy to look at my website and upkeep it. But I did wait to podcast until there was some clarity about what happened. And who knows what happened, but it got inundated with something. Okay, well, I feel like taking questions from the audience. I'm going to have to do it psychically. As we move into the solar moon, I think a lot of people can have this, when is it going to get here? Impatience, because the surging energy, this fixation practically on the sky, the solar destiny of trying to get to the sun, really feels like a journey that we could actually attain. Meaning, it's the solar moon, it's the solar tone, we're going to the sun, that's where we're going to convene with the sun being. Our wave is basically a flight toward the sun. If you picture a wave in the ocean, this is the moment when it's climbing in altitude toward the sky above sea level. And of course, in this moment, we have expectations and intentions. We have a lot of clear appetite for what we want, and we want to get it. We want to attain it. Intention is the effort to attain something. And I think many of us know what it is we want to attain. That's the clarity. It's the realization of our purpose. Realizing our purpose is making it real. Some of that is cognitive, like, I get it again, what my purpose is. And some of it is like, just driven for this idea, this flare of an idea that might have come all the way back at the beginning of the year in the magnetic moon. What is my purpose? Just like right now, an impatience, or practically like a foaming at the mouth, like, I want it, you know, reaching out our hands, yearning, praying, complaining, but probably to our higher power more than our friends. Our friends might be listeners, but our argument for what we want, for our appetite to be filled, is probably with our sense of a God. A discussion is being had, like, what is it going to take? This is what I want. I want this. And, you know, we're not like little greedy, you know, children or whatever. That's an awful metaphor. Children are lovely, but we're not greedy little pigs. Poor little pigs. We're not greedy in our efforts right now. It's not like, I want this and I want this and I want this. Oh, this is the time of me wanting things. Well, let me get as much in now. You know, it's not that. The solar passion of this moon, this tone, is, it's just articulation of true hunger and yearning. And it's fun to find out what we want. I know what I want. Now, what happens, this is why we'll talk about it, because I heard the question, like, when am I going to get what I want? Because we all feel what we want right now, so we want it to come true. And the answer, per my experience, is, I don't know. It's not up to us. It's not like a contest, like, who can want it the most, or what we want more than anything else is the thing we'll get. It just isn't that way. I grew up with two different kinds of parents. They were separated. I made a Christmas list. I had a father who would probably follow everything on the Christmas list because it made it easy for him, but he wasn't really connected with me enough to be like, I need your Christmas list. I want to know what you want. So I made the Christmas list, and I'd have the gumption to be like, Dad, this is my Christmas list. I think I would give it to my grandmother, who I loved and communicated with, and maybe he got a filtered version, or they divided it up. And I often got a lot of things on my list because they were orderly. Then I had my mom, who didn't believe in anything like that. And she would like re-gift me something, or a thrift store item that she thought was cute that got like tied with a bow on it. And that was my Christmas present. I hated her presents. They weren't from my list. There was no correlation between my want and what I received. However, as I grew separate from her into an adult, it turns out that I really prefer thrift store items and objects of the earth. My mom used to give me feathers and stones and shit like that when I was a kid. But I don't think she programmed me. I think she just tapped into something that I didn't know when I was a kid, which is some of us really like things that are natural. So in the end, my mom was at least equally a good present giver in terms of setting me up and the learning of how to receive and ask that is the child Christmas appetite. It's an exercise in patience, and it's exercise in understanding how wishes are granted. Sometimes you get what's on your list and sometimes you don't. And either way, you get something. Most people get Christmas somethings. And that's exactly what's going to happen in the planetary moon that follows the solar moon and the planetary tone that follows the solar tone every time. In the solar tone, when it's a day, it's not as obvious what we're going through because it's so short. But in a 28-day moon, we get a lot of time to understand, like, it's just about wanting and fixating on the attainment. And I'm not saying that we're all, like I said, greedy or sitting around being idle and only wanting. We're just on fire. But part of our fire is just, it's a thrilled, exhilarated appetite for something. And we're going to be answered as we speak to the sun about what it is we want. But we might not get what we're asking for. We might get something that is an indirect answer to what we have been asking and praying for. We might get something that we wanted a long time ago, but it's time for manifestation. We might not get what we've been wanting, and then we have to recognize something about planetary existence is thicker and slower and harder and more crowded than the ether world, the cosmos where the sun lives, where the solar rays have so much room to emanate. And there might not be room for what we're designing in our mind here for us this lifetime or this moment. So it's just not as simple as we ask and then we receive what we ask for. And that's why the Mayan teachings are excellent, because they force us to look at wishfulness as an action that is holy and golden and full of light. It's freedom. You have the freedom to ask for what you want. And then you have the maturity, the growth opportunity, which is what children learn, right? Through the struggle at Christmas time, you develop maturity. Even if it's cynicism, that's part of growing up into adulthood, is just understanding that, you know, you just don't always get everything you want or anything you want. But you get what you need, or you have what you need, and what you get on top of that is golden. So you can pay attention in this juncture, what it is you're wanting, and then it's going to be fun. For me, I'm in the kind of the cosmic question mark, which was one of the ways that people talk about the Yellow Warrior tribe, because there is kind of a picture of a hook, or looks like a question mark on the hieroglyph of the Yellow Warrior. But I'm in the question. One of the words for Yellow Warrior is to question. My question is, I wonder what I'm going to manifest with all of this wanting and yearning with pretty clear labels. My wanting and yearning has pretty clear labels. And I'm okay with that, because it's been building all year, and now I'm like, oh, it's plain as day. This is what I want. And it'll be hilarious to see what I get. Okay, what else are you wondering about? Portal days and portal people. I talk a lot about portal days. This is a portal day. This is Blue Galactic Night. We are remembering the Blue Night wave spell today. It is a Blue Night portal day. There are only two. I knew a Blue Galactic Night named Stuart. He was a tenant of mine. He didn't seem anything like a portal. Nonetheless, he was. People are born on portal days. Doesn't mean that they get to wear like robes, you know, like they don't have like a natural new age yogini attire. They're just people who seem vast and specialized, rarefied in some way. They hold a lot of space for others to pass through, so they look larger than other people. You know, when you're a doorway, you have to have room for your own stuff and kind of like the hollow space within you for others to be transformed. And so that's hence the larger than life. We don't actually have more power than other people, but our power is situated in such a way that others can find transformation in proximity to us and in knowing us. So it's not better to be a portal at all. It's not like favorable to be a portal. It's just different. It's just a different destiny. You know, there's a very particular destiny for magnetic and rhythmic and spectral people. And I think it's worse. I mean, it isn't better or worse, but it's very different. The challenge is that they're guided by their own power doubled. So they don't take guidance and they don't need to. You know, they have the inclination and the ideas and the impulses built into their makeup. So rather than looking for someone outside to be a leader, they find that strength to move forward in themselves and in their power. They're led forward in life by their own power doubled. And for each tribe, the power, you know, there's a word for the power. The yellow warrior is the power of intelligence. So a yellow magnetic or yellow rhythmic or yellow spectral warrior is guided by intelligence doubled. So they are inherently have the power of intelligence themselves. And then they have like this double intense intelligence that is what draws them forward in life. And it's familiar to them. They're already made up of it in their own birthright. So to be led by their own power doubled is sort of like it's like triple the energy. So that's very special. And I'm not that, and I am definitely guided by a blue hand, and I feel it outside myself like a carrot or a cheerleader or an obsession that I have to accomplish things to move forward and to even understand where I belong, you know, in what direction do I aim my movements, my gestures, my waking day. It's toward accomplishment, the power of accomplishment, blue hand. So you can see, like, these are, I think, three major separations or individuations within our birthdays as they fall in the Zolk'in. People that are born on portal days, people who are guided by their own power doubled, and then the rest of us. And, you know, there can be portal people who are guided by their own power doubled and portal people that are just guided by another tribe. And there can be either of those who are not portals. So there are all these variations. And none is better than the other. None of the tribes are better than the other. We all have a view of our favorite and preferred tribes, but that will also change over 20 plus years of following the calendar. Things will surge to teach us what we are missing in our identity. We need to understand a tribe to become rounder and more complete. And then we might meet a person who shows us the best things about a tribe, and then those tribe days or tribe times become extra special, which is certainly what happened to me with Blue Knight. I love to dream. I can just get lost in dreaming. I'm going to kind of close with just, you know, I've had a lot of crazy dreams lately, and they're crazy insofar as they're just so random. And I really have probably said this before, but I really think that it's possible that dreams that are bizarre and specific are just occurrences happening somewhere on the planet that we're running into with our psychic awareness. So it's not just like all parable and metaphor and this bald man walking his dog and then the dog gets away and is like weaving in out of traffic. Like, why dream that and be told, well, it's dog represents this and the bald man that? Why wouldn't that just be an actual, like a camera in our mind is capturing someone else's experience, and we're seeing it through this lens that is our sleeping psyche. I mean, to me, that's just a much simpler explanation for the specificity and singularity of dreaming. It's not my imagination running wild. It's just me picking up another's experience through the dream time, which is super cool. Today's portal, today is about dreaming, and happy to be here. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself, and in Mayan we say, in the cave.